Life Audio.
No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he has provided the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Mm.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Hey,
what's going on, man?
We're back, baby. We're back. Hey, so let's get down to business. Houston Cougars.
Come on, baby. Number one in the nation. It's not a big deal. I really wasn't even going to bring it up, but since you brought it up, man.
Tennessee Cougars, Volunteers.
They're number four. I'll give it to you.
So there's likely that we could end up facing each other in the Final Four, and we have an agreement. Tell the people what our agreement is. No.
I don't know what this made-up agreement he just made up in his head is, but we're about to hear it.
I got receipts.
What is it?
We're not going to talk sheesh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
We might put a friendly push-up wage or something like that, but we're not going to rub it in.
But do you remember my stipulation?
What was it?
Unless the Cougars win it all, then it's free game.
Okay. And I get the same courtesy if the Vols win it all?
Yeah.
Will you sing Rocky Top?
I don't know Rocky Top.
Well, you'll learn it. Mm-mm. You'll learn
it. I don't think I can do that.
Anyways, I'm excited. March Madness is upon us. This is going to be coming out Friday. So the SEC turn, all the conference tournaments should be coming to a close, and then it's March Madness. I love it, dude.
Yeah, Houston's been elite the last like 3-4 years.
They've been pretty good.
They've been good. I think we've been Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. Like,
yeah, Dalton so. Connect. Put some respect on his name. You'll figure it out. Wanted to ask you something real quick. Do you know that we have a new member for our channel?
Yes, I found that out probably 3 minutes ago.
Okay. Xavier K, thank you so much for sowing a seed into this ministry. If you don't know and this is your first time watching, $2-3 a month, and you can become a member and sow into this ministry of Life After Addiction. It means a lot. Today, we want to talk about something that we're both very passionate about, Scripture, God's Word. If you want to know how we feel about it, go back and watch our Four Pillars episodes on the importance of God's Word. But today, we want to just discuss a couple scriptures each and how they could help you through a hard time, through struggling with addiction, through coming through a low season, a hard season. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I will. And these are scriptures that were just really near and dear to Adam and I's heart, especially going through S2L ourselves, especially going through recovery ourselves. These are ones that really we clung to, that gave us hope. The promises of God, man, they give you this hope that this world doesn't know exists. And so the one for me, I've shared it on several podcasts, but the beautiful thing about God's Word, man, is it renews our minds and transforms our heart and radically changes us from the inside out. No matter how many times you read it, it's living and breathing. And so one that was really, man, it just stuck with me whenever I came to S2L and I didn't know the Lord and I really didn't know Scripture, but the promises of God, man, they gave me a hope that I had never had in the past decade-long addiction that I have been going through. But the one for me is 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it tells us that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he has provided the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Mm. And I don't know about you, but if you're struggling out there and if you're someone who has struggled with addiction or currently struggling with addiction, it is the most hopeless feeling that you could ever fathom. It is hopeless. It's absolutely hopeless at the end of it because you've tried your own strength. You've tried your own willpower. You've tried your own devotion. You've tried your own understanding. You've tried a variety of different ways to get sober, and you find yourself in the same predicament time and time and time again. But when I read this, man, the very first line, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, that spoke to me. It's like, okay, so I'm not just like the only person who's experiencing these things and who's trying to battle these things. Because when you're going through addiction, you feel like you're the hopeless of the hopeless. You know, you feel like you're the lost of the lost, the gone of the gone.
And you also think that it's in the dark and no one knows. And if no one knows, no one could be experiencing this kind of thing too.
Yeah, and so it's comforting to know, man, Dan, there's other people experiencing these same trials and same adversities that I'm going through. And then it's God is faithful. God is faithful, and he will not let me be tempted beyond my ability.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. That instills hope and confidence, not in me and my ability to escape the corruption of this world or to escape my sinful desires or to escape this addiction, but God is faithful. So I'm putting my faith in something greater than myself. I'm putting my hope in something greater than myself. And it says, but with the temptation, not only is God faithful, but he will provide a way of escape that I can endure it. That's a promise of God, that he will provide a way of escape when I'm going through a trial or an adversity or a struggle that I can endure it. Notice and understand that it says so you can endure it.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Not that you won't go through trials, not that you won't go through hardships, not that you won't go through calamity, but that when you do, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So what does that tell me? Well, my job is to abide in the things of God. My job is to submit to the way God calls me to live. My job is to love God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my spirit. My job is to abide in the things of God. And by doing so, man, these desires that I once had, he can change the desires that are within my heart, the things that were corrupt that I once longed for. Man, he can take those desires and replace them with things that are good and things that are of him. And that's exactly what happened to me. He didn't strip all the temptation from me in a moment. God can do that, and he still does do that. But I would say a lot of times that's the exception and not the rule for most people who struggle with addiction. And so, man, it was a process, but the more I abided in the Lord, the more I prayed, the more I was steadfast in my faith, the more that I sought after the things of God, the more and more those desires started to be removed from me, removed from me. And now, 6 years removed from an addiction, I genuinely don't have the desires that I once did. I can't even explain it. It may not make sense to some of you if you don't know the Lord, but man, my desire, my worldview, the way I look at sin, the way I perceive the world in general has drastically changed. And it's because of God's faithfulness and him providing the way of escape, which is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, man. I have a scripture I want to talk about, but just kind of hit a point with the one that you discussed in 10:13. I mean, we have to say it, right? It says, and you will not be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. And so, I mean, brother or sister watching this, I got to tell you that what this verse tells us as a believer, this is what it's talking about, as a believer, God is faithful, but it's also making sure that you understand that you're choosing sin, that you're choosing to do this, that the Word of God just said, hey, nothing's going to tempt you beyond your ability. And not only that, that he is going to provide a way of escape. And so my challenge to you is look for the escape lever. Look for it. I mean, if you're watching this right now and you're hearing this, call someone. If you're tempted and you clicked on this and whatever and you're wanting to use or do something that you know you shouldn't, call someone. Go to s2lrecovery.org. Call a friend. Call someone that you know loves you and can talk you off a ledge. That's a way of escape. If not, you're choosing it. Let that sink in, man. That's important.
Yeah.
Verse I wanted to talk about is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's verse 16 through 18. There's so much scripture that we're not going to cover,
man.
Oh, I know. Like 2 Corinthians, if we're talking about verses that are awesome for recovery or whatever, I mean, you're a new creation in Christ, and there's just so many. But I wanted to talk about this one because this one is just deep, and I believe it talks about the gospel. And so it's 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. It says this: "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord..." Whenever someone surrenders their life to Christ, whenever someone in repentance cries out to God, the Bible says that the veil is taken away. The Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Mm. "And we all, those who have turned to the Lord, who surrender our life to Christ, with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. And we are being transformed into his image with every increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Other versions saying we're being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. One degree of glory to the next. Like the smallest unit of a measurement is a degree almost. And so I love this verse. I think it's beautiful that when you turn to God, when you surrender, it says the veil's taken away, right? And for you, maybe if you're not sure what that means, you can go back to when Jesus was crucified and before the temple and start really talk about the veil, but I'll talk about the here and now. What the Word of God says is that when you become into the family of God, when you are a believer, a born-again believer, a Christian, the veil is removed and all of a sudden holy things are clearer to you. Like the Word of God is read different to you. To the non-believer, the things that we believe and the things that we read is nonsensical. They don't believe the things we believe. They almost say that we're bigots. They say that we believe in fairy tales. But God begins to reveal more of who he is to you because the veil is removed. You've turned from sin. You've turned from the wicked ways, and now you have surrendered your life to Christ. And so now, man, he's removed the veil. You can, I mean, as Chitty just said, I mean, I don't struggle with these things and different things. And I'm growing because God's showing you more and more of who he is. And he's drawing you to him because now the veil has been removed. Mm. And then it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And man, that is our mantra at S2L. If you're watching this, you more than likely have experience in addiction recovery and things like that. And if you've gone to rehabs at any point, as we have, man, we've been told that we are certain things. We've been told that we're always going to be an addict or an alcoholic, that at best we could be in remission and live somewhat of a normal life, but you're always this. And that's not what this verse says. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Another thing about the veil being removed, the Bible promises that when you're in Christ, his Spirit now is alive and at work within you. And if the Spirit is in you, then there's freedom. And man, that is our crescendo at S2L. Man, we believe that there is absolute freedom from the chains of addiction, not because we read some philosophy, but we read the Word of God and his Spirit set us free. And man, if God said it, so be it. Mm. And then I guess kind of just to bookend the verse, I love, as Chitty even gave the example, that it was a bit by bit. And this version that I read doesn't say it really, but from one degree of glory to the next, man, we're being drawn to God. We're being sanctified. And you said it. It doesn't happen all at once. I mean, some, the urges are completely removed, but that's the exception, not the rule, man. Yeah. It's a fight. It's you're in this thing. But, hey, as Chitty read, there's no temptation that you can't handle. There's ways of escaping it, and God is changing you one degree of glory to the next. So if you get saved, man, and you have a bad day, let this verse remind you, it's just one degree of glory to the next, man. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. It's not perfection, but it is progression. And in fact, he sees you as perfect because the perfect righteousness of Christ is on you. Our sin for his righteousness.
Mm. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If there's, you know, freedom. You know, baby. Mm. So, yeah, my next verse is Romans 3:23-24. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Man, I remember first reading this. Mind you, I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know scripture. I didn't know anything about God whenever I came to S2L. And so all this was new to me. But whenever I read the first part of that verse, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," it was like a breath of fresh air, because prior to coming here, man, I was the worst of the worst. I was unlovable. I was unredeemable. I was unforgivable. I was everything that a human did not want to be. And in the scope of humans, man, especially like as a man, the worst thing you could possibly be in life, less than even a homeless person, would be a drug addict. Mm. And so the self-hatred that you have for yourself is, man, it's you couldn't even understand. You couldn't fathom it. And now I'm not saying, oh, poor me, you know, yada. But like, seriously, the self-hatred associated with living a life of addiction is, man, I used to pray to die. I used to want to die. I was so sick and tired of hurting my family and destroying my relationships and the people that I loved most that it seemed easier to die, that they could mourn me for a little bit and then they would move on and I wouldn't have to continue to hate them. But when I read that, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," that's inclusive. That's everybody. It's not that I'm worse than this guy or I'm worse than that guy or he's worse. It's "for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And then it tells us how we're justified. It's not, "I'm not justified by me doing good and then I start looking better and then I stop doing drugs and then I start going to church and then I..." No, we are justified by his grace. Praise God for the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. So whether it's me being a strung out drug addict or the greatest pastor you've ever met, man, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are in need of God's grace. And we are justified, placed in right standing with God the Father by his grace through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Praise God, the way of escape. Praise God, he made a way to for us to be reconciled back to God the Father, not a result of my good works, not because I did a bunch of good deeds, not because I cleaned myself up, but because I repented and I confessed Christ crucified. That is the only way that I found redemption. And understand, his grace is a gift, and it's through that redemption that we have in Jesus Christ why we are able to be holy, be set apart, be different from the world. And man, just to understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there's someone out here who's going to listen to this that is struggling and they feel like they are too far gone.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
They're unlovable, they're unredeemable, they're unforgivable. My brother, you are not.
Yeah.
You are not too far gone. You have not strayed too far. The fact that you are even asking yourself the question is a sign that you haven't, man. Mm. You're still aware. Deep down somewhere in your spirit, man, you know that, man, it's possible. I just don't know how. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. If you don't know the Lord, man, I say this all the time when I teach class, man. If you're here and you don't know God, and maybe you don't even want to know him, I would ask you to pray this prayer and pray this till the day you die, man. And I'm dead serious. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me.
Show me.
But you have to have an open heart and an open mind, because he will. He will. If you ask him from a genuine heart, he will reveal himself. And I would ask you to pray that. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's man, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man, that's good. And I'm looking to the scripture that I'm wanting to read next, and it's almost like this theme, and we didn't plan this, but man, everything that we're saying, it's like, I think a big problem with the church, or just with us, or maybe it's our culture in America, or social media maybe did this to us. But man, you've got to get real. Like if you're, he's asking you to say a prayer, and he's saying, but he has to preface it with genuinely ask that. And so all of these things that we're talking about, it's like, take your mask off. All of sin. Take your mask off. There is a way of escaping this, but you're choosing not to. Take your mask off. Literally, let the veil come off, yeah. Right? Turn, repent, turn to the Lord. Because where his spirit is, that there's freedom. And so it's like, man, if you're hearing this, our plea is to someone who is genuinely wanting help and genuinely looking to put the work in. And man, God's word is sufficient. God's word makes promises in and of itself that it is sufficient for daily fulfillment, that it is convicting you where a sin is. You open God's word and you start to read, and maybe there's a place in your heart that you didn't know, and God convicts you of that. It brings you life. It brings healing. It brings you closer to God. It says you can find out who and what God says for your life. I mean, Jesus says, man, you will be my disciple if you obey my commands. Well, if you're not opening his word and being real, man, I don't know what brought that up, but we live in such a fake society, you know, yeah. That everyone wants to, even in the Christian society, everyone wears a smile. And man, if you're dying inside and smiling on the outside, what a dangerous place to be. I mean, we came in this morning talking about some heavy stuff, man. And if you go back to the episodes of Life After Addiction, you've seen us cry and bawl. And I don't know that we're in that situation, but just some heavy things that you deal with in ministry and ministry partners and things like that. And it just didn't feel like podcasting today. But if I'm, you know, if I'm smiling, but I guess that's bringing this out. And so, yeah, be real. These things will work, but you can't fake it. You know, like, who's got time for that? If you were like me, man, I lost everything, and I was tired of being fake. And so, yeah, my final verse is Ephesians chapter 2. And man, this is good. This is going to start bad, but it's going to get better. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And man, if we're being honest and going with this theme of taking our mask off and getting real, man, that's a punch in the gut, because that's me. That's you. The Bible's saying that this is who you were. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and that you were by nature a child of wrath. The wrath of God is waiting upon you. And then, man, I think two of the most beautiful words in the Bible is in this verse, because it leads up to all this devastation. And then you get to verse 4 and it says, but God, you're dead in your trespasses. You're like the sons of disobedience, carrying out the passions of your flesh and the desires of their body. You have no control, and you are by nature a child of wrath, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God, man, man, thinking about my testimony, thinking about the darkest things that I've done, hearing what you said, talking about when you came in, you were the worst, and I jokingly said I agreed. But God, man, not but Ryan, not but Adam, not but Hugo, not but Carlos, but God, being rich in mercy, he came and saved the world, man. Man, that's so cool. The two of the best words in the Bible, but God. In fact, we're wanting to get some stickers or something and put on my laptop or put on the back of my truck, and Carlos is coming up with some cool designs for that. We might end up selling them or something for our scholarship fund to get people that can't afford to come in. But God, dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank. But God, dot, dot, dot. Final thoughts.
Man, it's a beautiful thing. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Yep. He's provided the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but are justified by faith. We are justified by our faith in Christ. And we were once dead, but God, now we are alive in Christ Jesus as new creations at that.
I love it, man. Anything else?
No, I think we're good. I think that 22:41 is it.
That's it. That's Life After Addiction. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S2L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S2LRecovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts and their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.